coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. We're recapping the carnage from Wingfoot as Beefy Bryson rolled to a provocative, authoritative, and maybe slightly controversial win, which we'll get into as well, plus some other golf headlines and a big football weekend, both in college and the pros, a little bit of heartbreak for myself and Michael. Last but not least, we're talking bread and pizza in the oven when we hashtag always own the food. And this week's guest is Jason Boydston. Mike, you saw my pictures from Wolf Dancer last week.
Beautiful.
What a round that was. I mean, this is a grade A resort course. We got to talk to the director of golf there at Wolf Dancer at the Hyatt Lost Pines in Austin, get his insight on running the resort and some cool spots on the course as well. And everything is brought to you by our friends at FlightScope. FlightScope, Mike, big shout out after the Bryson DeChambeau win. He was pouring over the driving range on Saturday night. I texted you. He was hitting balls in the dark, but he had a FlightScope there, giving him all the data he needed. We talk about this product a lot, and it's because it ain't no joke. It's the real deal. I've got a Mevo unit at home. It's amazingly effective. It gives you ball speed. It gives you yardage. It lets you hone in on exactly how far you're hitting your club, which is honestly a big mystery to a lot of us amateur golfers out there. So again, it's FlightScope Golf and the Mevo unit. Our promo code is COL10 for 10% off the Mevo unit. Bubba uses it, and now U.S. Open champ Bryson DeChambeau uses it. I love it in the backyard or on the range to get dialed in. So much info in that little Mevo unit. Again, promo code COL10 for 10% off FlightScopeGolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groovit Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, like you said, it was the U.S. Open at Wingfoot just outside of New York City. It was missing some of the carnage that we expected, maybe, but only from the winner, Bryson DeChambeau, who did his bomb and gouge and just did everything right on Sunday, really just ran away from the pack.
It was very impressive, to say the least, winning by what ended up being a 6-shot deficit, the only guy under par all week. You and I had the winner around even or 2 under. If it wasn't for Bryson, that would have been the case, because Matt Wolf finished second and even. A very, very dominant performance, which leads to lots of questions and controversy, because you discussed this with me last week. You asked me if Bryson or Tony Finau would potentially have the better week. I lean Bryson only because I was curious to see, would this bomb and gouge, hit it a mile and figure it out after theory work at a difficult U.S. Open track like Wingfoot? The answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, it's surprising because he did have the worst fairways hit percentage out of any U.S. Open winner with only 41.1%. Yeah. Let's see how good your trivia is. Who do you think was number 2 on that list?
Oh, geez. I don't know. This is probably be like, I want to say maybe even Tiger had a rough week in the U.S. Open.
Tiger's actually number 3 back in 2008. And the year previous was Angel Cabrera, who had a 48% driving accuracy. But yeah, Bryson, just complete bomb and gouge. Longest driving distance average by a U.S. Open winner at 325.6 yards, beating out Brooks Koepka's 2017 number, and also having just number 1 in the season in driving distance, obviously, is Bryson at number 1. Granted, we're in a new season, but I'm pretty sure he's going to hold on to that title throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it brings up that question. Actually, I was talking to my father about this the other day, and we've talked about this, about how golf has gotten so long. Guys can just bomb it out there so far, get past all the trouble. And there's so much tech in the clubs and the ball, they're able to put a lot of spin on it around the green. So yeah, you still need touch, you still need skill, but as long as you have some of those basics going on, you can just do it. And Rory McIlroy finally peeped up this week.
He did. Yeah, I saw, you can read this off specifically, but I know he had some sort of a very veiled statement. Basically, he was congratulatory at Bryson's effort, but kind of said something along the lines of, I don't know stuff. I love the way he's doing it. But what did he say specifically?
He said, so the direct quote here, I think it's brilliant, but I think he's taken advantage of where the game is at the minute. The way he approaches it, arm lock putting, everything. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. He's just taking advantage of what we have right now. And I completely agree. I completely agree with Rory here. It's like, yeah, he's great. He's taking complete advantage of where the PGA Tour is right now and what it allows players to do. I think it is time for the tour to reel it back in, take out the tech, get those drivers smaller, take out some of the tech in the balls so that these guys need to actually show how much skill they have. Because someone like Bryson, yeah, he's got huge power and he's obviously got good touch around the greens and he is a good putter because we're seeing that. But it's too much to me.
It's interesting. Of course, he's going to ramp it up even further after he lifted the trophy. Mike, you'll appreciate this. He says he wants to put on another 15 pounds and he wants to go from a 45 to a 48 inch driver because that's another one of those things. That's an example. There's not a regulation on it. And Bryson is the guy that's going to push the envelope on every single one of those issues. He's going to get the biggest, longest club. He's going to get the biggest body out there. He's going to get all the science and technology behind him. And as you can see, that method's clearly going to work. The top two guys on the leaderboard, Mike, the USGA traditionalists of golf were rolling over in their grave. We had 21-year-old Matthew Wolf with a crazy swing who hits in a mile, who finished second, who couldn't hit a fairway to save his life. And the champion who won by six shots didn't hit many fairways either and was the longest guy out there. So it just goes to show you the game is changing fast, and even a tough, rigid US Open venue like Wingfoot that had carnage and a plus five winner in 2006 now has a guy shooting six under and winning with ease. It's quite a transformation we're seeing.
Yeah, you know, we saw this. I don't know how much we were paying attention to it as we were just ogling at Tiger Woods and how all the courses decided to tiger proof themselves.
Yes.
And we got these
events. 20, 30 yards to each hole.
Exactly. Now we're going to Bryson proof these courses. So what? We're going to back the tee up another 50 yards. So the tee box is going to be back in the middle of the previous fairway. Yep. And then we're going to grow the rough out. So instead of 5 inches, which I guess wasn't long enough to make it difficult at Wingfoot, we're going to grow it out to what? A foot long? Rough, maybe that's when we're gonna go full British Open viscue just everywhere.
It's wild, Mike. When you and I were kids, a 400 yard plus par four was a big deal. That was a big hole. Now it's 500. You need to have a real big par four on the PGA Tour, it needs to be 500 yards, which is a par five for 98% of the golfing audience.
That's the real problem to me here, is that the pros are getting so good and so long that there is now so much of a difference between what the pros can do and what the amateurs can do out there on course. Like you know, you play baseball and you could have a 300, 400 foot fence going around your field and any guy is going to be able to get out there every once in a while, even as an amateur. Now you're playing these courses and you're saying a par five is going to be 650, 700 yards is probably what we're realistically looking at for a par five, a true par five these days. There's no way an amateur is going to be able to out and play that in less than 10 strokes.
Hit us up with your thoughts on Twitter. I'm at Course of Life One on Twitter. You're at MWRINC. I want people's opinion. Is it the club? Do we start with the clubs? Do you start with the ball? Which direction do you go if you're going to curtail any of the regulations currently in place? Because our U.S. Open champion now is a guy that's going to keep winning and he's going to keep pushing those envelopes, like we said. So we'll be watching to see what Bryson does. You know, say whatever you want about him. A lot of people question his attitude, his personality, and whatnot. He's pushing the envelope. He's entertaining. He's making people think about the game of golf. So for whatever that's worth, congratulations to him for winning it in a very interesting fashion.
You know, speaking of watching the game of golf.
Yes.
Let's talk about coverage like we do on every week.
We're back.
The poor, just where you go to watch the golf, because Ian Poulter finally chimed in us as well this week.
A guy that we regularly disagree with on many things.
You know, he's actually really, by the way, he's a fun follow on social, just
really
in general.
Coming around on him, because he used to be the guy about 5-10 years ago that would yell at delivery drivers for sitting in his Lamborghini too long before they removed it from his driveway, or just say really, really obnoxious, self-entitled things on social media. I think he's grown his family now. He's getting a little older and mature, a little more wiser, and looking back with a little more perspective. And he's got a little more humor towards his social media profile now. He went on a little bit of a rant, though, regarding the Peacock streaming service, which is where everyone in the world of golf decided we had to be directed for a few hours each day during U.S. Open week. And he didn't like the way it was being televised. And I know you empathize with him, too.
Yeah, you know, it's if you're going to put it on a streaming service, especially those first two rounds, put all of it on the streaming service. Don't, you know, shut it off at a certain point. It's they continue to make it more and more difficult to watch golf. And, you know, I had my own issues this weekend with trying to watch the golf where I don't have cable. And Sunday afternoon, it's not anywhere on streaming unless I'm going to pay for something. And I'm not doing that. And my own issues with a 10-year-old TV that doesn't have a coax cable, so I can't plug it into it.
A potpourri of issues on top of even Poulter's. And his deal was kind of simple, too, which, you know, you love to mirror what you're showing on your phone or smart device over to your TV. And you couldn't do that with Peacock. Not only were they kind of jockeying around saying, oh, the last 2 hours of the coverage are going to be on Thursday on Peacock. Oh, by the way, the first 2 hours of Friday are going to be on Peacock. Then switch back to the network. Oh, by the way, the first 2 hours are going to be on Peacock on Saturday. And then we're going to switch back. They're doing all sorts of jockeying. And then you couldn't even mirror what was on your phone or smart device when you finally got Peacock up to your TV. So Ian Poulter's rant was guided correctly. I agree with him.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we just went through all the contract talks for TV on golf this last year. But I'm really curious if this next round again, if it's going to stay on this traditional format or if they're finally going to be smart and they're going to do something to get this on more streaming services where people don't need to pay. I mean, put it somewhere where, or put it on Hulu. I'm already paying for Hulu with ads. Go ahead and put it up there. I'll watch it with ads. I don't care about the ads. I just want to watch.
Yeah, coverage is coverage. It's interesting the way they jockey you around. It's so funny because we harp on this so much, but Twitter just lights up every time you get pushed to a streaming service in golf. It is just one of those issues that gets people riled up on social media. That was a funnier moment. Another like really weird, wild moment occurred with Danny Lee on the 18th green. We have to get into this. I sent this over to you. This is a moment that you and I and all amateur golfers can definitely feel. Danny Lee with an unthinkable six putt meltdown on the 18th green. He was quite literally playing ping pong and just withdrew immediately. Like after the round was over, he was so frazzled. He just couldn't even play on. It was quite a moment to see unfold.
I mean, it was you. I get trying to do the tap in, but then he tried to do the tap in from about five times the distance of the previous tap in. It was just, dude, just stop. It was painful to watch because all of us, if we were doing this, you know, on a regular weekday round, we'd pick that ball up and move on at that point.
I know he was basically was barely even waiting for the ball to stop rolling, Mike. It was like he was fed up with the whole thing. You know, Wingfoot got the better of a lot of people outside the first the last final groups. Were making some birdies where they needed to, and guys like Bryson rolled. There was enough carnage out there, and like we said, it was mainly on the greens. The bomb and gouge worked. The rough, you know, it was tough in spots, but overall, with run ups on these greens and not a lot of issues in front of the green surfaces themselves at Wingfoot, it was really the putting surfaces where you saw the carnage. And Danny Lee's definitely an all time meltdown for the books. Make sure you check that one out if you haven't already seen it.
So that's really our recap of the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. Maybe not quite what we were expecting, but it still was a fun week with carnage where it needed to happen on the greens. Congratulations to Bryson. We'll see if he can put it all together in another month and win at Augusta.
I got a nice little note on Twitter last night. The next two majors are both the Masters. How great is that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a nice
love
that.
Isn't it? Yeah. That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Love that.
let's cross over to the Champions Tour real quick because Phil, of course, missed the cut at Wingfoot. By the way, Tiger did too.
They were both really out of form. They had no chance of making the cut right from the get-go.
And so while both of them were over on the regular tour, Phil in particular playing on the PGA Tour, Jim Furyk went ahead and said, all right, I'll keep winning over on the Champions Tour notched another victory at Pebble Beach.
Two for two, Jim Furyk on the Champions Tour, batting 1,000. How about that for a win percentage on the Champions Tour? I mean, Jim, Jesus, would you save some for the other guys out here? This is Where's ridiculous.
Phil, look at the Champions Tour. Jim Furyk is taking it all away from you. Go over there, Phil. I would love to watch Jim and Phil every week just battle it out.
Mike, it's so great because Jim Furyk still got Fluff on the bag. One of the all-time great caddies as well. You know Fluff loves going to these three-round tournaments instead of four. You know he's a big advocate of that at his age. Yeah. One of the all-time character personalities who formerly caddied for Tiger Woods back in the day, now on the bag for Furyk as well. So we just got to shout him out because he's red hot. And honestly, when people were saying on the Champions Tour broadcast, Jim Furyk can still win on the PGA Tour on the right course if you get him on a short enough venue. Not the ones like the ones we're talking about, the way that get the game right. going, these 8,000-yard courses. Well, but certain venues can get it done.
So here's a question for you. Jim wins twice here on the Champions Tour. Let's say he keeps it rolling, keeps doing well. What are his chances at Augusta? Because I'm sure he's in the field, right? He's got to be in the field still.
You know what? Yeah, he wasn't in the field last year at Augusta, and I would have liked him a lot. I remember talking about him last year, but he didn't quite make it in. I got to figure out what sort of qualification levels he's at in terms of his Fed Cup standing to see where he is. I know he's still got probably a few more weeks to get in. It's not going to be through anything he does on the Champions Tour, though. That's the problem. Yeah, there's no real win on the senior tour right now that could get him into the Masters. Well, it would have to be something he does in a fall finish event in the next month or so.
Maybe what he should be doing, he's not, but he should be out of Putacana this weekend because this is a field ripe for the picking right now. There's like no names out in this field at Putacana for the third annual Corrales Putacana Resort and Club Championship, which is the worst name ever for a tournament.
You nailed that. I appreciate that because that's like it's down on the lower rung of PGA Tour events for sure. Obviously, we're a week after a major.
Yeah.
Not a loaded field. I'm glad you picked up on that.
No.
Not a lot of games.
Typically, this is a opposite field event from something big.
Correct.
Of course, now is being played as a full-fledged FedEx Cup event with 500 points up for grabs. And defending champ Graham McDowell is in the field.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. See, the defender. Yeah, I do remember vaguely he won this last fall. Okay, so good memory there. And then I want to shout out one of the favorites of betting odds. Check out my full card on Wednesday afternoon. I'm gonna really dig in for the research on this card on Wednesday. I'm going to have to really pull the numbers over for this one. But one of the plays might be, I can't believe I'm saying this, but a Korn Ferry Tour player has a chance to be a favorite and a winner on the PGA Tour. Will Zalatoris has made about $400,000 on the Korn Ferry Tour this year. Mike, last week, his top 10 at the US Open made him about $425,000 in 1 week. So he's a hot golfer right now. He's heading down to Punta Cana. Maybe he's a play. It's hard to pass up on a guy that's red hot like that and playing some of the best golf of his career. So again, check out the full card Wednesday afternoon and it'll be nice to see some tropical coverage, if nothing else. Some palm trees and oceanside golf coming up this week.
It'll be fun. Nice change of pace from being in New York, outside of the city.
Yeah.
Let's move over to Tuned In on what we're looking at outside of the world of sports, outside of golf, now that that has come and gone with the U.S. Open. And I'm going to continue my shameless self-promotion that I do here every once in a while and talk about, of course, my other podcast, 3-Minute Movie Reviews.
Right. You don't have to do that in Mongolia, because you're very big in Mongolia. You hear the news?
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are ranked in Mongolia. So shout out to your Mongolian audience. They already are listening, but this is for everyone outside of Mongolia, basically.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this week we're doing what could also, we don't do this segment very often, a childhood throwback.
Oh, what's that?
This could also be considered a childhood throwback. Mortal Combat movie
that just sends teenage chills down my spine. And it actually, I think of the movie and I also just think of like Mortal Kombat arcade games and pinball machines at the arcades and bowling alleys and entertainment centers that I used to frequent as a kid. As soon as you just say those two words, those are the feelings I get elicited there.
That's the goal. And it was felt like a young kid again watching it. Let's just say that.
Good stuff. I love it. 3-Minute Movie Reviews. Check out that podcast wherever you can listen. And my shout out was to the Emmys. Did you get to see any of this socially distanced virtual Emmy show they put on Sunday night?
You know, I didn't even realize that the Emmys were this weekend.
It did sneak up on me. It did, to be honest. My wife reminded me. I was too busy with NFL Sunday and US Open at the same time. We'll get to the Patriots heartbreak later, but the Emmys were on Sunday night. They were doing a lot of interesting things, but the bottom line is a show that I am watching right now, cleaned up, Schitt's Creek. I've mentioned it before on here. It's a fantastic comedy starring Eugene Levy and his son Dan Levy as well too. Some other great actors and actresses. They cleaned up in the comedy category, so I highly suggest watching Schitt's Creek. It was cool to see what the Emmys did. They had some nice cameras into home parties. We got some virtual speeches. Some people dressed up nice. Some people were casual, but good mixed bag and good fun vibes all around with Schitt's Creek cleaning up the Emmys.
All right, let's move into this week's guest. Yes. Of course, last week, Alex, you continued our Playcation series.
That's right. Wolf Dancer, Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. We love going to these Hyatt resorts. This is another great venue, too. And I got to talk with the guy who runs the show there.
Yeah, you talked with Jason Boydston. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Boydston. He's the director of golf, the Hyatt Las Pains Resort outside of Austin, like you just said there. So we're going to get into that conversation with Jason in just a second. But first, as always, we want you to know about our good friends over at Groovit Golf, makers of the sold-out Groovit Golf Brush. It's sold out because it continues to be in such high demand because it is what the average golf brush cannot do. It's everything you need. It's got a built-in pump and water or cleaning solution source, so you can just go ahead and spray your cleaning solution or water straight on the club face, allowing for quick and efficient scrub on the course. It's also got detachable magnets, making it easier to use so it can pop right off your bag. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. If you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back and Groovit Golf will get you a free replacement. It's incredible reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit. You'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com, get on their mailing list so you'll be ready as soon as it's back in stock. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com.
All right, next up on the tee as part of our Playcation series here on the Course of Life, we're highlighting the Hyatt Las Pines Resort and specifically the Wolf Dancer Golf Club. The guy who runs the show, director of golf, Jason Boydston, joining us now. Jason, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'm glad to be out here for sure. It's been a while since I've been out here. I've gotten to play the course once, but for people who don't know the setting, just give a general lay of the land of where we're located and the history of the resort as well.
Sure, absolutely. We were established in 2006, June of that year. The property sits about 20 minutes outside of Austin on the other side of the airport, and have about 405 acres that the entire property sits on. We're nestled up against the Colorado River and McKinney Ruffs Preserve, which is about a 1,000-acre park. So we have access to both of those here on property.
Yeah, it's very unique. The setting is so cool. So it's, you know, like basically past Southeast Austin. It's nice that it's kind of, you know, it's out in the country, but very great location-wise in terms of the quickness to the city and the airport and whatnot. Who do you find in terms of like the people that come to the resort and the course specifically? Are they all kind of City of Austin people or is it people from all over?
It's really amazing. We probably see people from all walks of life, all over the nation. They come here. You know, obviously our biggest market is probably Dallas and Houston driving in and staying with us here. And obviously a lot of the Austinites will come out and play as well or have a little staycation here at the resort.
Yes, I love that. Good. We're all at the staycation for sure. So what's your background with Wolf Dancer? This place has been here since 2006. How long have you been here specifically?
I started here in 2010. It's actually when I began my career straight out of college. And from there, I started as an assistant golf professional and worked my way up to being the director of golf over the past 10 years here. So
nice.
It's been a fantastic ride.
Very cool. So tell everyone what goes into being the director of golf. When we were in San Antonio and talked to Eric Claxton, he tried to describe that it's a lot more than just playing golf and giving lessons. He's monitoring a tee sheet with 27 holes. What are the different things that people don't realize that you're kind of doing behind the scenes to make everything go here?
Sure, absolutely. And down here, there he has 27 holes. So it definitely has a little bit different operation.
He does, yes.
Definitely tough for us to get out and get on the golf course ourselves. Definitely a hands-on operation for any golf course. For here, you know, we're a liaison with the hotel, so we're working with hotel guests, and we also are open to the public, and we host memberships. So we have tournaments for those various areas. We'll host corporate tournaments and membership events as well, so that definitely keeps us very busy.
Nice. I'm curious about the name. Is there any legend or story or anything behind Wolf Dancer specifically? Just a very unique name that kind of sticks out for the golf course.
Right. I believe they established that name from the Tonkawa tribe that used to inhabit this area. And I believe the Wolf Dance was a rite of passage for some of their younger kids going into adulthood. So they would have a Wolf Dance to get them into adulthood. So that's kind of where the name stems from.
Nice. You're going to need that
that here, because this course does it turns you into a big boy. I remember playing here once, and it can eat you if you're not hitting it in the right spots. Let's get into the course specifically. Before we get to the holes, I want you to boast really quickly about the range. It's actually one of the most memorable things I remember about my visit here last time. You guys have a really expansive practice facility. Talk about like ways golfers can improve their game while they're here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we have a 13-acre driving range, a couple large tee boxes up there that you can hit off of. We have a couple practice greens. We have a short game area as well. And what's great about this property is you get your golf cart down here at the clubhouse, and you don't really see any of the golf course or the range. So it's kind of an adventure awaiting to
happen. It is a little bit of a mystery. Yeah.
Exactly. I like that. So you're going up this large hill, and once you get to the top of the hill, it all opens up. You see the driving range, people down there hitting golf balls. And it's really serene up there as well. It's you and nature and your game while you're up there. So it's really a great place to practice.
Very cool. So the course itself, I've got a couple notable memories, and I'll tell one now. Let's first talk about my moment where I saw a hole in one on this course. It's the only hole in one I've seen with my own eyes my entire life. I didn't hit it. It was a buddy of mine. And it was at the par 3 fourth hole. Blind shot. We got to drive all the way up. Had no idea it was in. We started counting golf balls and realized that his was the last one not visible. What are like maybe some of the crazier shots that you've seen on the course, or some more unique spots on the course people should take note of when they're coming out here?
Sure. Yeah. And mentioning, you know, number 4 out here is probably one of the harder holes to make a hole in one.
Okay. So right.
Blind shot.
It seemed that way. Yeah.
Fairly lengthy hole. So it's pretty amazing. Congratulations to him for making a hole in one. And you see that on quite a few holes out here. We do have some blind shots off the tee boxes. So definitely playing the golf course more than one time is very beneficial to helping you score out here.
Have you seen an ace here at all with your own eyes?
I have. I actually had my own probably about 7 years ago. I made a hole in one on number 12.
Oh, okay.
Our top of the world hole.
Yes, tell everyone about that hole. So everyone kept telling me about that here. I do remember the shot. Obviously, top of the world gives you some sort of inclination that we're working with an elevated tee, which every golfer loves. So describe hole number 12 and what the top of the world view is like for everyone.
Yeah, number 12, you know, definitely one of our signature holes. You know, from up there, you can see almost the entire resort. You can see for miles around. So really a scenic view, probably one of my favorite holes, especially partial to it since I did make my hole-in-one up there. But we host a bunch of different activities up there as well. They've done yoga up there. We've hosted weddings and done proposals. So it's really a beautiful spot. And it's definitely something to look forward to as you're playing the front nine. Like, I really want to get over to hole number 12 and check out that view.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about it already, and I haven't even teed off yet. I love that. So, okay, yoga from the top of the world. I appreciate that. It's not just a golf spot for those who are coming to play. Good stuff from Jason Boydson here. Again, we're at the Hyatt Lost Pines, a great little resort just outside of Austin. And you know it's far out, but not too far out when you take the drive from the tip of Hyatt Lost Pines Road to the resort. Tell everyone about kind of like the vibe that like gets set immediately when you come through the entrance of the resort. Like you quickly feel like you're definitely kind of removed from everything, and you're on a true vacation when you drive down that road.
Sure. That's, you know, exactly how I feel coming in here every day.
It's a privilege.
Coming down that main drive, your experience starts. As soon as you turn off the road, you're back into the Texas wilderness, which is kind of the setting that we want to have here at this resort, and that you don't really get at too many resorts around this area. We really are fairly remote, but close enough to Austin that we're really accessible as well.
It's so cool. And so there's wildlife out here. I saw a couple of goats butting heads a little earlier, and some alpaca as well. I have even seen horses out here. Am I not mistaken? I saw a horse by my car when I finally pulled away the last time I played this course, because they got horse trails out here as well. So you're just liable to see any sort of wildlife it seems out here.
Absolutely. And funny enough, we have horse trails all around the golf course that you don't really notice unless you see 7 or 8 of the trail rides coming through. And you'll see that, you know, we have horses. We even have skeet shooting and archery at the back of our driving range. So we just try to implement all of that here and use the facility as best we can.
Very cool. Talk about like the different ways that you can play at Wolf Dancer. What kind of like different packages or options are you? What do you suggest, you know, for people who are either coming here for a day or a weekend, different ways that they can enjoy the course throughout their stay here?
Sure. If you're planning on playing multiple days and you're staying here at the resort, definitely try to take advantage of our golf package if it's available. It's really easy to see that whenever you're booking your room. It's just one of the package options. And you can play as much golf as you want while you're staying here under that package. package. We also offer memberships that are very high in value for what we have here compared to some of the local golf courses in the area. So we definitely try to tell people to take advantage of those, especially if you live locally. It's really a great way to get out and enjoy a high caliber golf course. And then, you know, we're accessible to the public, so anybody can jump online, come out and play golf. And I think that's probably what is the most unknown about this place, is that we are open to the public, because the other two resorts here in town are not. You have to stay there to play.
That is unique. Yeah, you can't. It's hard to get on courses of this caliber if you're a public golfer. So it's something to take note for people in Central Texas. And then even if you're staying here too, if you're doing a vacation or just a little bit of a working vacation, I love this this work from Hyatt program. I got shown some of the different workspaces in the resort where you can actually basically just kind of like take your job here if you're able to work remotely. How can that work in for someone, you know, who may be looking to stay here a week, get some work done, and also play as well too, Wolf Dancer?
Exactly. That package is, you know, catered toward families, couples, and individuals who are in an area where they're working remotely or they're learning remotely. And so they're able to get that experience away from home here at the resort. For an extended stay, you can you know, work in your room, or we have several different working areas around the resort that you can set up. Have a long day at work, and after that, you know, you have the opportunity to step outside and go join the pool, hang out at the restaurants, or, you know, I even recommend coming over, taking advantage of our Twilight Golf, which we offer free rental clubs.
Oh, nice.
For those people that are staying here at the resort.
I love that. That's so cool. And I love the idea that you can get the Wi-Fi pretty much anywhere in this resort. I tested that out a little while ago. It does work pretty much everywhere. For those who've got kids and they want to watch them at the same time, it's very flexible. You can't quite get it on the golf course. So you're going to have to take care of your work before you go play golf. But I really do appreciate that work from Hyatt program. Let's get into some of the weirder things, or maybe the most notable things you've seen regarding this course. On the podcast, we've talked to some people recently that have had some really extreme scorecards. I talked to a British mini tour pro who shot a 56 about a month or two ago. And I just talked to a pro from Oklahoma who shot a 55. I'm curious, what's the course record here? And have you ever seen anyone go like real low out here, Wolf Dancer?
So from our tips out here, our lowest score is a 65. So, it, you know, we're not quite getting down the 50s out here on our golf.
It's a tough test. I know. I get it. Makes sense.
It can definitely be challenging even for the most advanced player. But that record was set by Omar Uresti, one of our local pros in the Austin area, very well known. And it was funny the way he did it. He didn't even realize he was playing that well. And, you know, toward the end, his buddies were like, hey, you're playing pretty well. You know, keep it going. And, you know, he ended up shooting a pretty good score.
Yeah, and Omar Uresti is a Longhorn. He was on tour for a long time, playing the Champions Tour as well, too. Not shocking that a guy with that type of name came out here and just shot an aimless 65 without even trying. I love that. The other thing I want to talk about, I'd say maybe let's go outside of number 12, because I know that there's going to be a great photo or video up for me out there on number 12. What are some other really cool, like, Instagrammable spots on the course? I'm seeing that we're going through a lot of hills just getting into the resort, so I imagine there's some really cool views when people get out to their course. What are some of the most notable vistas out there?
Well, you don't have to wait very long to get to one of those holes. It's actually one of my favorite par fives out here. It's hole number three.
Okay.
It's elevated tee box. There's probably around 20 bunkers on this hole, so it's very picturesque. You can actually see the skyline from the tee box as well. Just a real fun driving hole. If you hit it really good, you can go for the green in two. The difficulty of this hole is that's going to be a blind shot on your second shot hitting into this hole. Mm. It's all uphill after your drive.
Oh, boy.
You know, beyond that, you hit to hole number six, which is another one of our signature par threes. Has a couple ponds on it, beautiful waterfall up the left-hand side.
Nice.
And it's probably where most of our hole-in-ones happen, is on that hole. Everything feeds to one area on that green. And if you want to hit a hole-in-one and have an easy way to do that, that's the hole.
Nice. Number six, a hole-in-one hole with a water scene backdrop. Doesn't get much better than that. And then the thing we love to ask about to all of our pros when we wrap up our conversations is the 19th hole, which is where we're sitting right now. So us and our listeners, we might not be as great as you at holes number 1 through 18, but we know how to control the 19th hole. Tell everyone a little bit about the 19th hole options here for golfers, and maybe what are some of your food or drink picks that everyone should know about?
Sure. Our 19th hole here at Wolf Dancer is called Birdies, and it evolved into a burger bar. So that's kind of what we're known for now here at our 19th hole is our fantastic burgers. And we actually have a burger called Birdie Burgers. And you're able to customize these burgers however you see fit. We have a menu that you can put any of the toppings on there.
Got my grilled onions. That's my favorite. Got grilled onions. That's my go-to.
For me, I love throwing a fried egg on top of my burger.
Ooh, yes.
And our chefs do a really great job with our burgers. And we also have different options as well, your typical 19th hole grub and grab-and-go items. So it's really a great place to stop in. As far as my drink, usually this time of the year, my go-to drink after a round of golf is a nice margarita. Really light and refreshing. As we get into the fall months, I usually finish it up with an old fashioned, get into the bourbon and whiskey.
I like that. Margarita, pretty much the unofficial drink of Texas, and always a good 19th hole option for golfers out here too as well. Again, it's Jason Boydston, Hyatt Lost Pines Resort here just outside Austin, Texas. It's a beautiful spot. I'm looking forward to getting out there. Look forward to seeing more people come out here and document their stays as well. Thanks for joining us, Jason.
Thank you for having me on, and thanks for coming out.
That interview with Jason Boydston is thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-the-kind fold holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with pretty much every phone model out there, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds, keeping your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips. You can change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the golf course at all times. And not only is the Phone Caddy a great gift for any golfer, it can be a great gift to give at golf events or buddies golf trips of all kinds where you can easily social distance on the golf course.
Indeed.
And right now for our listeners, you can save 20% off your purchase with the promo code Course of Life. They have a ton of colors, including their classic orange, which is very pumpkin colored.
Oh, great, good point.
Fall.
It is.
Yeah. But you can get any color you want. They got a huge amount of them. So head on over to their website, desertfoxgolf.com, and use promo code Course of Life to save 20% off your Phone Caddy. Again, that's desertfoxgolf.com, promo code Course of Life. Go get your Phone Caddy today. Great interview there with Jason. I'm always a big fan of these par threes where you're really high elevated tee box to low green down there. I just love that.
That's the best.
It's just incredible. I love all kinds of holes.
And 12, so it's the top of the world hole. And when I got there, I was feeling a little bit of the nerves just because I knew it was like the signature hole. I was all by myself out there, and I hit a beautiful wedge right behind the hole, drained the birdie putt. That was definitely the highlight of my day, making two at 12, the top of the world. Again, that's the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort and Wolf Dancer Golf Club. Jason runs the show there. That's a great place to get out if you're in Texas or just looking to do a Texas vacation in general. And Mike, I love that work from Hyatt program that they're running right now. You know, it's kind of nice, the idea that these resorts are kind of catering to the way things are now, where lots of people can take remote jobs, take them on vacation with them. And there's lots of different places around the resort where you can just open the laptop up, you know, be active, work, and still enjoy the vacation. I'm just loving that flexibility. I'm all in.
I mean, isn't it everyone's dream where you can just, you know, go wherever you want, open up your laptop, work.
That was me. I was dreaming
for a few hours.
I took a bunch of pictures, so you'll see them. We'll put them on Instagram. Okay. So at COL Podcast on Instagram, I'll send them your way so you can get them up for everyone. I'll show you like a bunch of different spots at the resort where you can work from Hyatt. You can go putting green. They have Wi-Fi there. You can go the patio by the restaurant. The pool area has cabanas, Mike, with Wi-Fi where you can set up there for the day. I mean, come on. No brainer. Great stuff there from the team at Hyatt. Love going out to Lost Pines. Hope to visit some more places as well, too, in the Playcation series. So fun chat with Jason. Great course, too.
And if you like our Playcation series or just anything we do, make sure you give us a rating on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts so that we can get out there to more people, let them hear all the great stuff we have to say. And make sure you hit that subscribe button if it's first time listening.
Everyone helps.
It helps us a lot. It does. It helps a lot. Speaking of helping, or not helping.
Yeah, my picks were not good in football.
Yeah, your picks this week in college football were not very good, not very helpful. What, you had two fantastic weeks. Did the coronavirus get to you or something? What happened?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm really confused. I'm going to issue a formal apology here. I'm sorry to everyone who got on the bandwagon just in time. I feel like this was the week where everyone finally realized that college football has actually started, because there was a lot more activity on social media. It went 3-5 on the weekend. Not horrible, but not great. Not the standards that I live up to each and every year. So I'll be back on the horse for Thursday and Friday night college games. But again, Course of Life One Twitter for the full card. Man, sorry about that. But we're delivering 5-3 or better. That is my guarantee, or else I don't know what the stipulations of that guarantee are. That is just my guarantee. That's all I have to say.
It's your guarantee. If it doesn't happen, then, you know, we'll try to guarantee it next week.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be double. We'll double down.
Oh, man. You know who tried to double down? Cam Newton in his fashion.
Oh, yes. Okay. We have a new segment here. Cam Newton fashion review. I feel like this is going to have a lot of traction over the football season because Cam Newton is just, he's not averse to dressing very eclectically. Now, he is, you and I, we're very normal dressers with the clothes we put on. He is considered very in fashion. Now, the clothes he wears, I could never pull off.
I'm sorry. Hold on, Al. I'm sorry. But the yellow suit was not in fashion last week.
Oh, yeah. That is prime fashion, Mike. That's Fashion Week Paris. He's ahead of the trends. He's years ahead of the curb. Trust me on this one. We don't know anything. You know, Cam Newton knows exactly what he's doing. This was an interesting one this week, though. We'll post the picture on our socials. He went with basically a full gray pinstripe, and he looked like a character from the Addams Family, too. I got a little side-by-side that I think I sent your way and put on Twitter, but what were your thoughts on the suit of the week from Cam Newton this week?
Look, what's more important than how you look pre- and post-game is how you play on the field. Patriots lost, so.
I know, it sucks, because he did, like, everything in his power to win that game. Just the defense was just absolutely dreadful against the Seahawks. It's Gomez Adams from the Adam family that I think Cam Newton looks just like. Check out the picture on my Twitter, Course of Life One. We'll put it on Instagram as well and get your vote on your thoughts on the suit. But Cam Newton, I'm encouraged. He was throwing the ball very well, which I'm surprised by. Just stuffed at the 1 yard line. The absolute heartbreak and an amazing sports karma moment as I'm watching on Sunday Night Football. The Patriots get down to the 1 yard line against the Seahawks. We all remember how that unfolded in the Super Bowl four or five years ago with Malcolm Butler's interception. As soon as they got down to the 1 yard line, I had a silent thought in my head. I was like, you know what? Sports karma would have us stuffed at the 1 yard line right now in this final play, because that's just the way the world works. And sure enough, Cam Newton comes up a yard short and the Seahawks get the win. That's sports for you.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's what happens. And it makes feeling better. You know, this is the year that maybe Giants fans thought was going to, you know, things might turn the tide. But of course, week two, Saquon Barkley out for the season with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Shepard out with an injury. It's season's over. Pack it up. Giants are done again. It's over. See, I don't care anymore. Season's over.
Oh, no, I think you made it to October last year, if I don't remember. We haven't even gotten to October before season four declaration.
I think I packed it in as soon as they benched Eli last year.
Very similar heartbreak to the Patriots, too. Kind of a rare 1-2 sucker punch for the both of us. Giants were down 17-0 at Soldier Field. They come roaring back to 17-13, get the ball all the way down to, I think, about the 5-6 yard line for literally the last play of the fourth quarter. And that pass sailed incomplete from Daniel Jones. Giants dropped to 0-2. So yeah, just tough beats from us all the way around. I'm full of promise and hope for Cam Newton, but tough way to lose in there in Seattle on the last play. So
you got promise for Cam Newton. I think next week you'll be back on your high horse. But for me and the Giants, I mean, it's like sit Daniel Jones. I don't like him anymore. I don't like anybody.
The experiment's
anymore.
Over for you, huh?
It's over. Yeah. Done. I'm done. Time to find a new team to root for, which right now is the Yankees, because guess what, Alex?
What?
It's the final week of the regular season in baseball.
That crept up on me big time.
I mean, I don't think you've been paid attention because the Red Sox are worse than worse.
Oh, yeah. No, I stopped watching the Red Sox weeks ago. So I pay attention to my fantasy baseball team and I check my lineup every single day of the week because I'm diligent about it. And it's a money league and money's on the line. And you just told me that right now. Like, I did not even realize it's the final week of the season. Like, I need to really get my shit together and get my lineup like really on par, because things just came at me really fast with the baseball season here.
Yeah, you know, it's been a roller coaster, 60-game regular season that's now wrapping up. That's right, 60-game regular season for these teams. The Yankees were on the highest of highs in the start of the season. Then they all got hurt, and it was the lowest of lows, and now everyone's healthy again and back onto a high. The American League has pretty much already decided who's going in this 16-team expanded playoff field. The Yankees are in, so that's all that matters to me right now. Yeah. The Yankees are in.
I mean, they're in the driver's seat in the AL for sure. I've been watching them. They had a little bit of a stumble in the last couple of weeks, but regaining form now. And I know they've ironed out all of the – they're doing neutral sites here for the end of the playoffs, correct?
The first couple of series are going to be at highest seed, but they're not going to travel. Okay. So you may still have you're still going to have a three-game set with a 1-1-1 home team setup, but – it's going to be at the higher seed is going to host.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see. We'll talk more about it next week when we can actually see all the teams playing in the postseason. We'll get a little postseason preview next week.
Yes. Could be maybe Seth Rothman season here in the next month or so.
Yeah. I might have to reach out to him.
I think so. Good stuff.
Let's hashtag Always Seventh Food.
Yes, it's brought to you by Be Free CBD, best CBD in the market. I take it before my golf workout every single morning in my backyard. Promo code is COL30 for 30% off at BeFreeCBD.com. Hashtag Always End With Food. We're both talking bread. We both made bread. Let's get to your bread first, because I know you made a classic as well, too.
You know, I went all out. It was actually 2 weeks ago at this point, I think. We just didn't talk about it last week. I made challah, which is just a intimidating bread to make, but it was actually really easy.
Please explain why intimidating.
So for people who don't know what challah is, by the way, you're missing out. Challah is a Jewish bread, usually it's an egg-based bread, so very eggy, but a little sweet. And it's intimidating because you actually braid it. So it's that braided bread you usually see.
Oh, yeah. That's like the stuff I see on the baking championships and the Food Network, where I'm just like, oh, no, this might be above my pay grade. I'm out.
Very possibly. Very possibly. It was surprisingly easy to do.
Okay.
And if you saw the pictures on my Instagram at MWRINC, you saw just how beautiful these loaves came out.
Nice. So the braiding worked.
It
looked pretty good.
It tasted great. And French toast from leftovers, because it's like challah is like a brioche. It's a little sweet, so it's great on like for French toast. So this is fantastic.
That sounds fantastic indeed. I did something with bread I hadn't done in a long time. Maybe like since childhood with mom. I did homemade pizzas with the wife in the oven.
Nice.
It was nice. It's nice to do a homemade pizza. You know,
don't you feel like an adult?
I do. No, listen, I am up there. I get to go order orders all the time. I'm a huge to go order guy. I love to go pizza all the time. It's a fixture of every week for me. It's nice to actually put the sauce on, really select your toppings, put them exactly where you want. You know, I made the pizza. And I was like, you know what? I just want one slice of pepperoni. So I just put like 100 pepperonis in one corner of the pizza. That's it. I just wanted my one front pizza. That's what you can do when you do homemade pizza. And they turned out very nice. So a victory overall.
You become the master of the universe.
I have. I didn't quite do like the twirling that you see where they throw it up in the air like in the
movie.
That's
too much. Nah, not worth it.
That's also above our pay grade as well. What isn't is us exiting this podcast quickly and successfully. We're always good at that. Everyone have a good week, and we'll see you next week.